Well, blessed Advent to all, and it's close. But the year was 1970, with great expectation. Just as today, great expectations. But long ago, there was even greater expectations. But in 1970, Barbara and I were expecting our first son. I had returned from deployment, and when I left for deployment, Barbara wasn't pregnant. She was pregnant, but she didn't look pregnant. Sorry about that. Thanks, Martha. She was pregnant, but she didn't look pregnant. When I got back from deployment, I had a beautiful 10-pound baby boy, and I was able to hold him, and she still didn't look pregnant. And, but it was with great anticipation that that would happen. And I had orders to, from the minesweeper I was on as XO to being a department head on a DDG-2 class destroyer to be engineer. And we were going to Newport, Rhode Island, and to go to department head school. And we celebrated Christmas in Charleston, we celebrated Christmas in Newport, and then we moved to Hawaii. And in 1971, I flew to Australia, Townsville, Australia, leaving Barbara in the Peppermint Tree Apartments in Hawaii, and with a new baby, and with the hope of moving into quarters on base, and with great fear and anticipation of stepping into something that I had been trained for but not prepared for, didn't fully understand what it meant, and surely didn't know the outcome of that job, because I was very junior, and I got what I'd been praying for, but I couldn't do it on my own. And so I prayed, Barbara and I prayed before I left. And on the plane down, man, the Lord provided, because who was on the airplane with me and about several hundred other people was Jimmy Swaggart and his band. And we spent the whole flight singing and praising the Lord. When we got to Townsville, guess what? I was praying that there'd at least be one other Christian on the ship. And as I'm amazed, standing there on the deck of the ship after I'd reported on board, I'm looking up at the southern sky, seeing a sky I'd never seen before, and the Southern Cross and everything, and seeing God's amazing hand and beauty unfold before me. A guy comes up to me. He was a personnelman, and he came up to me, and he said, what are you doing? I says, I'm just looking at God's amazing creation and the southern sky that I'd never seen before. And he said, are you a Christian? I says, you bet. So immediately, we introduced each other and proceeded from there to start a Bible study. Well, that was a journey of being chief engineer of a steamship that was not in very good shape and leaking and needed to be repaired. And so the journey started, and I says, I can't do this, Lord. And he prepared to show me how. As in Mary's time, Mary is a young teenager. And she is a good, obedient Jewish woman, lady. And this angel comes to her and speaks. But as the angel speaks to her, she's wondering probably, why me? But yet God had chosen her, just like he's chosen all of you, to be here this morning. And he chose her for a very special purpose, to be the mother of Jesus. And she said, how can this be? I'm a virgin. Well, Isaiah and several prophets before had predicted and prophesied that a virgin would give birth to our Savior. Well, prior to this, the angel visited 6 months earlier. Gabriel had visited Zechariah, and Zechariah heard this, and he's in his my age or above, in his 90s probably, and Sarah and Elizabeth was the same. And guess what? He laughed in disbelief. This just doesn't happen. And so he was made deaf. And not mute. He was made mute, not deaf, mute. And then, guess what? 6 months later, the same angel appears to Mary. And then the story unfolds. And she asked the question, not in doubt, but wondering about the mechanics of things, because she kind of understood the birds and the bees and the things of life. Didn't understand X, Y, and Z, but, you know, she understood that. And so, guess what? Gabriel answers her and says, you will be overshadowed by the Most High. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and be overshadowed by the Most High. And you will conceive the Son of God. I wonder if Mary knew at that time, and actually the fullness of the fact that one of my favorite Christmas songs, excuse me, but Mary, did you know? And I could say that's probably an Advent song too. But Mary, did you know when you looked at your baby, you saw the face of God? Mary, did you know when you kissed your baby, you kissed the Son of God? You kissed God. And it's just very tender to me, and I can just relate to every mother and how their first child and any baby they have is so near and dear to them. And us husbands just kind of don't quite get that same connection as mothers do about sons and daughters as they're born. She was given an impossible task. I was given an impossible task to do something I've never done before, but that's life in the Navy. We're all given impossible tasks when we choose God and choose His way, because we're on a journey following Him. But Mary, in her time in society, she was asked, as a virgin, being betrothed to her husband, not married yet, to give birth, which meant, although not practiced at that time, which meant stoning if you have relations outside of marriage. So whether she thought that or that was in her thought process, it's certainly in ours when we think about it. And yet Mary answered Gabriel, God's messenger, and said, I am the servant of the Most High God. Let it be with me as you have said. I can't relate totally to that on one level, but when a woman has relations and gives birth, she's surrendering her body, her mind, her spirit, and her soul to what takes place. Guys make kind of a mental ascent until we actually surrender to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here Mary, the mother of Jesus, surrendered and submitted her body, mind, soul, and spirit to the living God, to be as He has said it would be. His words are fulfilled. She conceives. Now, who's going to tell Joseph, the betrothed? Whoa. Dude. I'm sure it's like the first time, if you're not, which goes back to our first son. I don't know how all this happens, but my best friend in the Navy, they've been trying to have babies for a long time. And so Barbara said, well, maybe we ought to get started on that. So, okay, so I figured it would take a couple years, right? No, just like that. And she tells me. And I'm going, oh, well, I didn't think it was going to be that soon. But what a delight when he was born. And it was great. I'm sure Mary felt the same way. And it's just amazing. You know, when Gabriel greeted her, and she says, greetings, that doesn't really capture the significance. That word really means rejoice. In other words, he's coming right up to her and say, rejoice, O favored one. The Lord is with you. That signifies joy. Rejoice, Mary. Not only is the Holy Spirit here, but God is present. And God bless you. You are highly favored. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. You found great favor with God. She conceives, tells him what is going to happen and who is in her womb and what he will be and what he will become. And she's to call him Jesus. The Father names the Son in that tradition. The Father God named and said, name him Jesus. Then we get to the tough part, Joseph. Mary tells Joseph, and Joseph goes, wait a minute. So he doesn't want to bring embarrassment on her and shame on her, so he's going to quietly divorce her. But the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph and says, tells him the whole thing and everything, and he changes his mind. So the Spirit's moving again, and God is present again in Joseph's life. And they walk together. And, you know, the baby leaps in her womb when she meets Elizabeth. It says, nothing is impossible with God. That's a sign for Mary to realize that 6 months before, John the Baptist was conceived in a miraculous way. And now Jesus is conceived. And she says, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I think we all come to that place in our life where we need to become the servant of the Most High God. Mary had a humble heart. She was mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But she was also, at the same time, his disciple. And we're all called to be a disciple that approaches, comes to that point in our life with a humble heart where we're in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we ask for him to come in. And he comes in. And he asks for us to be obedient to him, to surrender it to him, to be subservient to him, that his will be done, not our will be done. And we all know when that happens, and we know whose we are in Christ. But we're called at that time to put on Christ, to be in Christ. And what does that mean? That means, where are you? Are you in Christ? Do you believe? Do you ponder his word and believe and trust God for the outcome? In order to do that, we need to be submitted to him with a humble heart. We need to be obedient to him. We need to search and ponder his word, and let his word speak to us. We need to pray. We need to receive. And we need to do as the Lord commands us to do by being obedient to him and rejoicing in him always. That doesn't mean as Father Eric said last week, that we can't be sad. It means that where our joy comes from is from the Lord. It means what we are looking forward to is the Lord providing the results and meeting our needs. Not our wants, but our needs. And the Lord does that over and over and over again, each and every day. But do we look and do we expect Him to manifest Himself each and every day in our lives? And with the birth coming, we need to be servants, humble servants of the Most High God, and be obedient to Him every second, every hour of the day. Amen?
Amen.
I think for me, throughout the Navy and having jobs over and over and over again that I wasn't prepared for, but I was prepared for because of the Lord. I don't know how people do that without knowing the Lord and being His servant and depending upon Him for the results. How many of us surrender all and depend upon the Lord for the results? I can't put my hand up there because sometimes I take them back and I want to do it. Yeah. Teresa says she totally depends upon the Lord back there. So God bless you, Teresa. But I'm telling you, that's what the Lord wants us to do, to be totally submitted to Him, surrendered to Him, and rely on the results. I think of Father Eric. He came here because he was called, and he submitted to the Lord. And over his time here, he has done what he can. He's prayed. We've all prayed. And yet this past fall, we've seen the Lord's abundance pour out upon us as a congregation. And thank you all. God bless you all. But he is excited and very expectant about the future and the future of not only Jesus and himself and his family, but also with Allie and Oscar.
Caesar.
I did it again. Oscar. And but with Christ the King and all of us and the growth of this church and the growth of his family. He's greatly anticipating the birth of a grandson or granddaughter.
I'm not right.
No pressure or anything.
No, but I was. I was. I mean, fortunately, they're doing it in the correct order. So that's my son Larry. As on my 30th birthday, I said, I can remember celebrating my 30th birthday with you, Larry. And she said, well, Dad, you want me to do this in the correct order, right? I said, well, certainly. So, but I'm just saying we have great expectation in front of us in the new year. And let us continue to pray, be obedient, and be humble servants of the Most High God, as Mary was, and fully submit to Him. Amen.
Amen.